This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
Heart. It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you at. Hello to the family on Facebook. Hello to you. I grew up that we're just going to have a great time together, and we will be learning together today right here on Heart to Heart. Give you the sounds of Marvin Sapp, Never Would Have Made It. And now, as I had promised, that I will be joined by Mr. Modise, and he is the senior client liaisons officer at GEPF, and he is with us. We're talking S-cases, fraud nominations, and updating of beneficiaries. So, Mr. Modise, how are you?
I'm blessed. How are you doing?
I'm highly favored. Thank you for being with us this awesome day. And we can't wait to be learning. I mean, like, we've heard about the unclaimed benefits at some points. GEPF was just equipping us on that and calling on those who haven't claimed their benefits to come claim. We've also spoken about funeral benefits. And I was saying to the family, you can call and ask on those questions, and that then Modise will be able to can answer your concerns and your questions today on that as well. So we are now focusing on the ask cases fraud. Hey, it's good. You know, when I saw fraud, I saw it in red. I didn't see it like fraud, like just the letter. I was like, in red, fraud and nominations and updating of beneficiaries. Let's start with the S cases. What are we talking about when we are talking S cases, about S cases?
Oh, yeah. Thank you once again. And good afternoon to the listeners of Pulpit Radio. When you talk of the S cases, quite similar to the unclaimed benefits.
Okay.
S cases is basically periods of service where a member was contributing to the fund, and for whatever reason, it could be of resignation or because of death, the member is no longer contributing. Oh, the contribution has stopped, hence the word S case. So that means that period is just hanging on our system, waiting for the member to come forward to claim.
Okay.
So that's basically what an S case is about.
So it means that, but now, why wouldn't a person know that they have to come and claim these?
It's for various reasons, really. I would give you one example with regards to educators, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most educators in most provinces, and I will take the Northwest in particular.
why Northwest in particular, though?
Oh, no. So that's because the point that I'm trying to drive,
okay,
it's rise this side than any other province.
Mm-hmm.
Most educators are being employed on a contract basis.
So
after the contract has expired, then, you know, with regards to the pension law, the government employees pension law, that period needs to be claimed. But the employee may not be aware that they were contributing to the fund, or they may just not be aware that they can come right away to submit their documents and have that period claimed, because then they have a new contract that's continued or that is running. So they're just thinking that because they are still employed, then that previous contract
continues.
It just continues.
Okay.
But that is not the case. The other one that's also very right is that of, you know, the death claims, where the beneficiaries are just not coming forth, either because they just don't have the relevant documentation to submit to the employer departments for them to make the submission. There are death claims that require letters of authority or letters of executorship, and that has proven to be quite a stumbling block for most beneficiaries to get that. So while they're still struggling, that means the case will just be hanging on our system, waiting for beneficiaries to
come claim.
Come, income claim.
Mm. So now, if I would like to find out if I also counted in the S cases, what should I do? Maybe I'm listening to this and I'm like, yeah, and you know, I worked and the contract ended and I proceeded, and or maybe I'm even not working for government anymore. I'm doing something else, but I did work.
Sure.
Yeah, so what happens?
Well, just similarly to the unclaimed benefits, we're urging all the resigned or retired members of the fund to go to their former employers, because the process starts with the employer department, the HR of the employer department, to really capture the claim on the system that we have given to them and submit the claim through to GEPF for the payment to be processed. So very important, it's for the former employees to really go to their former employers to lodge the claim.
Now, do you have, like, let's say, a teacher who has hired at a certain school by the school governing body? Because I understand in some of the schools there are teachers who are working there, but they were not hired by the government itself. They were hired by the school governing bodies, also being registered to the fund. Do you have any case of that nature?
No, that will then not be the case. This one, if the post is an SGB post, as it is known, then that means that the body that's responsible for the payment is the SGB, and it's not the government, and therefore those employees would not form members of the fund.
So it has to be somebody who has hired directly by the government.
Absolutely.
The Department of Education, for example, in this case.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. And that's easy really to detect. I mean, when you get your payslip, there's a list of deductions on your payslip. If you are a member of the GEPF, that would be evident on your pay clip. There will be a GEPF deduction, meaning that you've contributed to the fund. That at the end of your contract, rightfully, you're supposed to, you know, to claim your pensions.
All right. So they have to go back to their employees when you say, meaning the government or meaning wherever they were working, say at a certain school, should they be going to that school or should they be going to the Department of Education?
Well, ideally to the district, because remember at the school it's only the essential work happening there of teaching. So essentially to going to the district office.
Okay.
Because that's where the HR is based. That's where the human resources is based. The people that are really tasked with submitting the claims to the GEPF. So I would advise really members to go directly to the district office.
Okay. Now we're realizing that you're talking about a certain case that happened in our family, but the person is deceased now. What is the criteria when it comes to us cases? Or, I mean, what should be the procedure now if the person is now deceased? But we are realizing, yeah, Uncle Sorenso used to work for a government or whatever department, and then he retired or he resigned and he went on to his own. But yes, for a certain period of time, he worked there. So what should be the process now?
So the first process I would advise is to verify with the GEPF. Remember, when you're inquiring on behalf of somebody who's late, you need an ID identity or ID number of that person so that you can be able to make an inquiry. First of all, just to verify if really indeed this person was contributing member of the fund, and if our consultants, our customer service agents, confirm for you that there is outstanding funds for this person, then you will be directed to go to the former employer of that person to give the documents that they require. Amongst them is the certified ID copy of the deceased, there's a bank form that the beneficiaries need to complete, and they also need to submit their certified ID copies as well.
Mm.
And once the claim comes, mm-hmm. we then pay within 60 days.
Mm. But it has to go via through investigation first.
Absolutely. It has to go via the former employer of the deceased person.
Now, I understand that the funeral benefits, for example, started operating at a certain year. Which year was it again? So people who passed on, like in the 1990s, 1990, they may not be able, they were not covered in this benefit. So in terms of these, how does it work? When,
So funeral benefit as an added benefit or a non-contributory benefit of our members, it came into being on the 1st of December 2002.
Yeah.
But that was for people who were still in service at that time, meaning that people who had already retired prior to the 1st of December 2002, they wouldn't really be covered by this benefit unless after the amendment that was done on the 1st of April 2012 to cover the people who retired prior to the 1st of December 2002 and who were still alive at the time of making the amendment, which is the 1st of April 2012.
Mm-hmm. So now I want to understand in the S cases, Khure, when these cases that you in this case now, is there a duration to say you can't claim if it was before the year, let's say you were working for the government in 1994, for example, or in 2000, the year 2000. The only ones that can claim are those who started working in 2002 and then maybe, But otherwise, can't claim. Sorry, we're not covered. So how does it work when it comes to the S cases?
So with the S cases, that doesn't apply. Remember, the funeral benefit is an added benefit.
Yes.
That was initiated and have its own special rules. But when it comes to the S cases, that's the money that is rightfully yours. During that period that you were working, you were contributing, and rightfully, regardless of when you retired or passed on, as long as there is proof that you were contributing, it has to be paid, regardless of when you passed on.
Okay. All right. Yes. Okay. So no duration on that.
not at all.
Okay. When we're talking about fraud, exactly what are we referring to? Because I remember when we were talking to one from GEPF, asking about fraud in terms of claiming the benefits, for example, he really mentioned, it's impossible. There's no way. Where we were asking, can maybe by any chance you find it's paid into the wrong beneficiary and all of that, the wrong person claimed? And they were like, no. So what are we referring to when we're talking about fraud here?
You know, luckily, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. So yes, luckily, with much technological advancements, we managed to really safeguard our systems to really curb or circumvent the possibilities of fraud.
Mm.
But that used to be very, very rife in the past, where we're only relying on manual documents to pay beneficiaries. So in this day and age, we have systems in place that can validate the correctness of documents that are belonging to the beneficiaries. That is not really an issue at this stage. What the issue is that the fraud happens quite largely post the payment of our benefits, especially the retiring members, where there are people out there who impersonate GPF officials and claim,
I'm like, wow. Ooh. I'm just thinking that one has been getting some SMSs for those who are claiming to be GEPF. So those are the things that you're talking about.
Those are the kind of things that we are referring to.
Sure.
People will be saying they are from the GEPF, and they've been instructed to collect money on behalf of the fund.
Or to pay. Yeah. Sometimes they're like, we have to pay a certain amount into your account. Please follow the link.
Oh, yes. Those are very dangerous. And not only where GEPF is concerned, but
yes,
across board.
Yes.
People try out there, try their luck with all this kind of thing. So, you know, the advice really is for the users or for members to really safeguard the information.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they don't just click on any link that there is being sent on SMS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Someone seems to be from the GEPF.
Mm.
I think we try as an organization to increase our footprint so members can walk into one of our working centers and really verify if
this is legit.
You know, that is legit.
Mm.
You know, mm. You also these days get people saying that, you know, they can fast track your claim,
mm-hmm.
you need to pay an X amount, mm. and then they will pay you in a few days. Now, our visibility is so much that you can actually walk into a working center or phone the call center or even download our app,
mm-hmm.
and just track your claim on there without having to pay anybody anything.
Yeah, yeah. Because even with the fraud ones, let me just use the word fraud again. With the fraud ones, most of the times you would find that you would be told pay 150 and then this would be released to you, pay this amount. They go to an extent of, I received another one that says pay 23 rents. and an amount of 23,000 will be paid to your account. And how many, if they would get 1,000 people to pay 23 rents, how much would they make themselves, you know? Yeah.
So there's just a syndicate of fraudsters out there,
sure.
who are just living out of this thing. So
it's
really for members to be on the lookout, be vigilant, don't fall prey to this kind of things. The GPS has got offices throughout the country.
Okay.
There's nothing stopping you from going into there and making an inquiry or just phoning the call center and making an inquiry and confirming it really.
Okay.
What you see on the SMS is legit.
All right. Here is a family member's message, and I see you over James Ferdinand van Zyl. Let's hear. I think it's Musia Nimpo.
How does it work?
Hi, ma'am.
Everything. Rona retswa from the former Bophuthatswana.
Yeah.
Abo ntate wa rona bana ba sebetsa mo government party ya no. Di passe tsa bone. Di nkwiwe ba sena di ID.
Mm.
And di birth certificate di re Bophuthatswana.
Mm.
And ha re ya re lo ke re ke tlo tshintsha birth certificate.
Mm.
Valid challenges and I can check checka handle gore go GPF party and na sebeletsa government and ona contribute go pension fund. The only thing gore ke na pension fund number and ke na death certificate ya ke na le ID ka bakala gore go putsa tsona o tlokofala ne banka ID ya gago. So re dira jang ka khangentseng yana ka gore ha o khone go batla ID hape ya motho o tlokofetseng.
Okay.
Right, OC.
Thank you, Sis Mpo. Thank you, Mom. Ntate Modise, the question here, and just to for others, maybe they are also falling under the same category. Just to clarify, she's asking about her father used to work for the former Bophuthatswana government, and he was contributing to the pension fund, but now they can't claim because In the former Bophuthatswana, they would take somebody else's ID when a person passes on. So they would take the ID, so she doesn't have the documents, and she doesn't know how to check with GEPF because she doesn't have even the pension fund, whatever number, I think, and his number. And so in that case, because the father is deceased now, but he was contributing, and the family would like to claim, and they would also like to inquire if he can be found, go GEPF. So what is the process now? What would you advise? She doesn't have the documents. She doesn't know how to go about this as well. So what advice do you have? Or yeah.
Yeah. You know, a part of the reason why we're sitting on some of the cases that cannot be resolved is because of documentation, as I alluded earlier. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, for issues of compliance and curbing fraudulent transactions or activities, proper documentation, correct documentation has to be satisfied before we can really extend payment to the beneficiaries. Yes, so having the correct documentation in place, very key in ensuring that the GEPF pays the correct beneficiaries on time.
What advice then do you have for Mempo? Because I think it's frustrating. They know that he was. Let me ask this question again. If they are coming from the former Bophuthatswana, and now we are in the new South Africa, can they still be, if they had the documents, would there be a chance that they would find that their father was part of the GEPF and they could benefit from that? Or there were new things, everything implemented is new. So if you're coming from the former homelands, there is no way that you could be part of GEPF. How does it work there?
No, remember the GEPF was formed on the 1st of May 1996. It was an amalgamation of the former TVBC states, various pension funds. But having said that...
And Bophuthatswana was still a homeland then?
Absolutely. By TVBC, I'm referring to the Transcape.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So even having said that, those who were members of pension fund, they automatically then became
part of GEPF,
pensioners of the GEPF. So okay. if there is proof that such a member was a member of the pension, was contributing to pension, and they were not claimed, then they definitely have to claim, or the beneficiaries would definitely have to claim. But very important, the correct documentation has to be in place before payment can be done. Mm. So the issue of, you know, what happened with the IDs back then and not being issued now, it's an issue I think our sister department or the
Home Affairs can come into can really help in this regard.
Yeah.
Sure. So the advice is for them to go back to the Home Affairs and try to resolve this with and so if they would, let's say they get success of getting the ID number, the ID, you know, maybe even if it's a copy from Home Affairs of the deceased, would the GEPF be in a position to can assist them with just an ID?
Yes, that we can do. That we can do. That's something that we've been very upfront with.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, giving the information out there. If this person who could be a family member or a family member or a member of the family that you know. That's why we have even published this information on our website under the unclaimed benefit link.
Mm.
But just the names, obviously, for obvious reasons, not the ID numbers, they are not on there. But just the names and the initials and the province where the person was based, that information is there for members of the public to go in there and just verify if they can spot someone that they know.
Huh. Okay, so Sesimpo could also try that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember, the issue of unclaimed.
Uh-huh.
It's not only a GPS issue.
Hmm.
It's a huge problem in all the retirement funds.
Hmm.
And the GPF as a standalone pension fund has got its own measures in trying to assist members of the public to really verify if there could be a person who was working for the government who has unclaimed benefit. Remember what the other private sector funds, which fall under the FSCA, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, they have their own measures. They have a search engine on their website of members really checking if, you know, if a family member has an unclaimed benefit. But these measures that GPFS are unique only to public servants or members who used to work for government and were contributing to the GPF. So yes, members can get on the GPF website,
okay.
www.gpf.gov.za, go on to the unclaimed benefit link, choose a province and go through that long list and see really if your family member may be there.
You might find that's where they will get their, you know, solution from, just by checking and finding the name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All righty then. Family, you can call in and talk to us. The lines are opened for you on 012-334-1322. It's 012-334-1322. You can call in and talk to us. You can also send us a WhatsApp or a Telegram on 082-657-2729. It's 082-657-2729. Although I'm going to go to the news and then come back, Linda Temudise, after the news, the news at 1 o'clock, and then we will proceed. Let me quickly run through Zandile's message, Linda Temudise, so you can hear it. And when you come back from the news, you can just respond from that.
Okay.
Sanbonani, sisi sibongile.
Sanbonama.
No baba. Uthe babo mndise.
Mhm.
Lo vela ka GPF.
Mhm.
Oh ngumam Zandile Malinga mina la.
Mhm.
KZN. Ngicela ukubuza mina, ubaba wayisebenzela u government.
Mhm.
Baye khola futhi ka GPF.
Mhm.
Wa retire ngama 80s.
Mhm.
Angikhumbuli ukuthi kwaku-81 but ngo-86 nje wayeseretayile wase eshona ngo-2003.
Okay.
Azange sikleyime i-funeral benefit. Ngicela ukubuza ukuthi lapho-ke uyakhwalifya yini, ngoba washona ngo-2003 ngo-November. Uyakhwalifya yini usingakleyimi i-funeral benefit yakhe? Umama yena waqhubeka-ke waholwa uhafu we-pension fund. Yena waseyashona ngo-2007 ngoba umama wayengasebenzeli, ugovernment wayengasebenzi, wahola leka baba lo hafu we-pension fund. Waseyashona yena ngo-2007, naye azange sikleyime i-funeral benefit. Ngicela ukubuza lapho ukuthi bayakhwalifya yini ukuthi singakleyima ama-funeral benefit. Okay, ngiyabonga kakhulu. Bye.
Sizandile at KZN, Ubaba Mdise will respond to you just now. So the question now is, the mother, after the father passed on, the mother continued to get pension fund from the GEPF, but now she also passed on in 2009. And so they would like to know, because they never claimed the funeral benefits for their father. Now the question is, would they come and check if they do qualify? Could it be that they do qualify for the funeral benefit of their father?
Yeah. when funeral benefit was introduced in on the 1st of December 2002, it was only covering members who were still in service at that time, right? And the amendment was done on the 1st of April 2012 to also include or to also cover members who retired prior to December 2002, but who are still alive at the date of the amendment. So in the instance of Sizandile, the father retired prior to the 1st of December 2002, but unfortunately passed on before an amendment. So that means that he will not be covered by the funeral benefit because he passed away before the amendment was done to include people who retired before December 2002.
Okay, all righty then.
And subsequently, the mother also would not then qualify as well.
Okay, then. All right. Let's hear some of the questions that are here. Says Zandile, I hope you got a clarity there. Another family says, Merach, can you help me, please? My father died on the 13th of July 2006, and my mother died on the 5th of September 2009. May I claim? Where do I get the ID numbers? My sister also died on the 1st of November 2008. Can her family or me claim or on their behalf? Thank you for a wonderful program. Okay, so let's start with the father who passed on 2006, July the 13th, and the mother who passed on the 5th of September 2009. Do they qualify to can come check the claims, you know, if they do qualify?
They're more than welcome to come check if there's anything left for them to claim. And also, the circumstances will also, determine whether there should be a funeral benefit payable or not. So if, let's say, for example, it's a death in service, the father passed on while he was still in service, then there would definitely be a funeral a benefit payable. But if it's an instance similar to our previous listeners, and also Zandile, where the father retired prior to the 1st of December 2002 and passed on in 2006, then there won't be any funeral benefit payable because he passed away before an amendment.
The amendment, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So, but to get definite confirmation, there's nothing stopping them to really come forward and check what the ID numbers of the deceased.
Okay. Okay, but now there was a question, where do I get the ID numbers, I think? Then it means the family member will have to go to Home Affairs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, we're trusting on them to give us the ID. Without the ID number,
But can they also go into that list that you're talking about on the provinces and just go through the list? Chances are they might find their loved ones before they can even go to Home Affairs. Check with that list first.
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. And now her sister also passed on the 1st of November in 2008. And she's asking if the family can claim or if she can claim on their behalf. How does it work?
Well, if there are surviving children, or let me start with the spouse. If there is a surviving spouse,
right.
He needs to really come forward and make sure that, you know, his a late wife, there's nothing left to be claimed. Or if there are only just children, then the children should come forward and then claim. So the buck starts with the spouse, if there is one, and the biological children.
Okay.
Without any of those, then yeah, any of the family members can come forward and find out if there's any claim to be made.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Our sister worked as a cleaner and cooker for a government institution. She retired. Soon after retiring, she fell sick and passed on. I know she received her monies, but I would like to ask the following. If she was receiving any pension from SASSA, okay, but government, if so, what could have happened to pay out after passing on? Okay, that's the first question. Do you want to respond to the first before I continue?
Yeah, again, I'm not sure there if the reason for termination of service was it a resignation where now the member would have been paid all her money upon resigning, or even if it was retirement, years of service are a determining factor as to whether they would continue to get a monthly pension or not. So if a member retires with less than 10 years of service, then they will only get a once-off payment when they retire.
Okay.
So again, circumstances also, they will determine really what is happening.
Okay. Now, I thought there were extra questions, but I see they are adding to the first question because the family member continues to say, I know she had a mother, late, and two brothers. Okay, let me see. And two brothers, children as beneficiaries. And we never received any payouts from funeral. So, yeah, it continues in that regard.
Yeah. Again, the date of death is very important because of when the funeral benefit was introduced and the amendment. So if they passed on, you said 2008?
Yes, she passed on 2008.
And there was no funeral benefit paid. So, it could be that they either retired prior to 2002, but if they retired or passed on after 2002 and died in service and there was no funeral benefit payable or paid, then there could be something that they need to claim there. So they just really need to visit one of our working centers, give the deceased information so that we can confirm.
She says, I'm sorry, Ntate Modise, I'm so sorry that I did that. She says she worked for more than 10 years. Her message just came through just now saying she worked for more than 10 years for the government.
Yeah, then that means if the reason for terminating service was a retirement, she was then eligible to get a monthly pension, and if they pass away while earning a monthly pension, then they would claim, they're supposed to be claiming for the funeral benefit.
Can I ask something here, based on what she asked? And she said the sister passed on in 2015. So I would like to ask in terms, but maybe it's my question is too open, because she mentioned SASSA. So I'm asking myself, does it mean that her sister was a member, like she was working for the government institution directly, or she was working for another another private company that is servicing that government institution, because she mentioned SASSA. So I wonder, it's just something that just crossed my mind that you can continue that.
I wanted to get clarity if was the member also earning a payment from SASSA.
Yeah, she says if she was receiving, you say that part for me, she says if she was receiving any pension, not SASSA, but government. If she was receiving, then they can come to one of your offices to find out more, right?
Absolutely. That is highly encouraged.
So if she had children, then the children should be the ones that are doing this.
Absolutely. Especially if they are major, so if they are over 18.
Oh, if they are over 18. Okay. But if they are still younger than 18, then the family would have to
assist them with checking and appointing a guardian if there is any money, any funds.
Mm-hmm.
so that they can assist them with the claiming process.
Okay. I know that I have to let Ntate Modise go, but we did not cover all. We still left with the notification and the notification and what of the beneficiaries. And so I think let us just put that aside and say we will come back to discuss that. But there's a question on the fraud. Spongile, please ask Ntate Modise, how can one then identify that a message is not from GEPF, it's a fraud? Okay, any pointers, Ntate Modise?
Yeah, well, that's really a difficult one. But the usual messages that we send to our members is usually to notify them if there's any office moving, or notifying them if one of our mobile offices is visiting an area. But basically just announcements. But we wouldn't really send an SMS for you to click on the link and then you make payments there.
But would you make, I'm asking myself, would you send GEPF, would you send a message, say an SMS, I'm just asking, that would say, put in your documents, your IDs, and would you send an SMS like that?
No.
Okay.
No, you would never do anything like that.
So be aware that if there's payment involved, if they're asking for your personal information, be wary of giving such.
Absolutely.
Okay. Pietra says, Terte, dankbaar, ek werk nie vir Eskomina nie, Eskomina, SASSA is pension fund, geseende middag, ek mara Pietra. Yeah, SASSA is a pension fund. Maar, the question that was asked Pietra, the family member was saying her sister was not getting from SASSA. So that's why we just needed a clarity right there. So yeah. All right. Ntate Modise, we are not yet done. We're still owing family members the last part of our discussion, but we can take it further on another day again with you. But what are the closing statements that you would want to leave our family members with today, Radio Pulpit family members?
Well, the critical information I'd like to share with our members is that always verify with the GEPF. There's a lot of unverified information that may be said about the fund.
Mm-hmm.
But I would encourage that you make way to our offices really to make sure. And always try and make a distinction when, say, government or whenever anybody is speaking about pensions.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't assume that it's referring to the GEPF.
Yeah.
Because GEPF has got its own rules.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to them being amended, nothing can change. And we always make sure that we communicate in mm-hmm. platforms like this if there are any changes. So if you haven't heard anything officially
mm-hmm.
from the GEPF that anything has been amended or has been changed, then nothing has been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And just normalize also getting on the GEPF website, because we really try and update it with up-to-date information, so you can learn a lot more about the various benefits as a contributing member or as a pensioner. And don't be afraid also to download the GEPF app.
Hmm.
Remember, this app is meant to meet you halfway in terms of giving you the services
mm-hmm.
that you would normally physically visit an office to get. For example, withdrawing your benefit statement, getting an IRP 5,
hmm.
getting your payment letter if you are already retired. So if you have an app really at your convenience, you can get all this information from there.
Hmm. Okay then. 2 minutes of your time, Tate Modise. I have to let Tate Modise go, family. He has to go. All right. Just 2 minutes of your time. A quick one. Hi, my queen. I trust you all well. My brother passed on 18th June 2007, was a policeman for 22 years. He was not married, but have 3 children. By then, the children were still young. As a family, we didn't claim anything. Your quick advice, Ntate Modise, right there?
Just to make sure that you visit the office to make sure that the money has not been paid. If it has not been paid, then you definitely need to claim this money for the child. And if the child is already now over 18, they can do the claim in their own right.
Because in Setswana, I understand the benefits are the bowl, so they don't waste, they don't go to waste, and you can still cover, and they don't expire, right? Okay, that's the right word.
That's a very important one. So if there's any unclaimed funds, it will remain in that unclaimed fund until the beneficiaries come forward. So it will never be forfeited or anything like that.
Okay. Here's the last one.
I think somebody at the bank worked once, and even Vodacom. I had a guy who working for Vodacom, and I'm not going to mention his name, and his uncle give work for his brother and sister and everybody. And he stole 21,000 rand, and I actually gave him a chance the first time when I was working. And his surname is Baloy, and it's so heart sore how people steal your identity and making excuses for everything. So even now the government, with what I'm listening about the paperwork and stuff, there's so many frauds. So the only one you actually can trust is the Holy Spirit and close people and family like you guys. Because when I'm in trouble, I will phone Radio Council. Doesn't matter where I am, because I know I can trust them. Blessings, and have a great afternoon. Bye.
Thank you, May Kwenningen. Bye, thank you. Bye, thank you. That was the last day. What is question again in Afrikaans? Okay, I'll remember. Vraag, ne? Yeah, that was vrye, or vrye is when they are many. So yeah, vraag, that is vraag. That was the last comment as well. Unfortunately, I won't be taking any further. But Ntate Modise, you'll be coming back again and to elaborate. And I think what Pietra is talking about is very important, that we should be aware. And like Ntate Modise has been he kept on saying, come to GEPF, call GEPF. When you get a message, come to GEPF, ask of us. Don't just respond, give your details, give money and all of that without inquiring with GEPF. Because yes, people even do fraud in the banks. People do fraud in... I got another one from SASSA. SARS as well. SARS in inverted commas. It wasn't the real SARS. But when you read it, you're like, no, there's no way. And the SARS in inverted commas would say to me, give us 150 and we will give you 70,000, 75,000. I'm like, how did we even get to that? You know? So be weary. You know? But now in terms of our, as now I'm letting you go, in terms of our documents that were lost or that were leaked earlier this year from that department, now it's running out of my head, where everything, our debts, our IDs and everything have been left out. Has it affected your members in any way of GEPF as well? Could it be that maybe sometimes when they approach us with our GEPF info, not having everything maybe from GEPF, but getting our IDs and all of that, it's because of the information that was leaked at the beginning of the year?
Not for certain.
Okay.
One thing certainly sure is that information was leaked somewhere. We just cannot link it to any specific organization. But whenever someone gives you a replica of your exact information, that means they get it from somewhere. It has been leaked from somewhere. So the feeling is that, yes, there is information, real people's information, that's being leaked, but we cannot really ascertain from where, which is why we say now it's individuals also responsibility to make sure that they just...
You protect your stuff, yeah.
Protect your own information. It's like now I'm sitting here listening to all the inquiries that the family has got, and I so wish, because I'm sitting in front of the system, I so wish I could say, read me your ID number and I'll just give you the information. But it doesn't allow us to do that. So you know, be wary of just giving anybody your information. The best way, all these people that have been inquiring, the best way, make way to the GEPF offices. Make way to where our mobile offices are. We have what we call the GPF days, or what we formerly called the road shows, which happen normally on Saturdays, where we invite members to come and inquire. You know, take heed of those. Go there, make inquiry. Don't sit with inquiries that are unresolved.
Okay, then. Thank you so much. We've learned quite a lot. For family members seeking for more clarity, understanding, maybe somebody's like, GP, what are they talking about? You know, and they need more clarity. They want to ask further questions. And another one says, yeah, maraman, we can claim. And so, how do we get hold of GEPF for further information?
Well, first of all, you can get a hold of us on our call center line, which is 0800-117-669.
0800-117-669. So it's 0800-117-669.
That's correct.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir. Yes,
and then our line service centers, we are visible in all the 9 provinces. For Gauteng, we have an office in Pretoria, Johannesburg, we have an office. So all the provinces, we have an office. If you are unsure, ask perhaps one of the other government employees. They should be able to tell you where the nearest GEPF is. Or find out from the call center, they can direct you to your nearest GEPF Cancer Center.
And your website again?
Our website is www.gepf.co.za.
All righty then. Thank you so much, Ntate Modise. Waiti mara skoloto. Sapatalo, Ntate Modise. So we're hoping that you will come back to pay. Thank you so much. Have a blessed, blessed day further.
And you too. Stay blessed.
Bye, sir.
Bye.
Yes, our family, we are learning on a daily basis, and we thank God for such information that comes through. And that was the GEPF, the Government Employee Pension Fund, raising awareness on benefits that have to be claimed, and also on fraud that is out there. To say there is fraud, be wary of giving your details via SMSs, you know, for SMSs that you don't know, people that you don't know who just call you. So don't just give information over the phone. Don't just give your information via the links that are given via the SMSs that you would get, and they are said to be coming from GEPF. So be careful of that. Be wary of giving your ID numbers, giving your banking details, giving money. You know, some would also ask for money from you. So be careful and be wary of doing that. And also, my family, also helping us to know who is eligible to claim for their funeral benefits. If their family members passed on, their parents or their loved ones passed on and they never claimed these benefits. And so, yeah, I hope that you have gained yourself some info right there. The number again, the toll-free number is 0800. So it's 0800-117-669. It's 0800-117-669. For the last time, 0800-117-669.
Plug in. Feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.